What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And if you're wondering who this beautiful woman sitting next to me is my sister, Tiffany Daniels-Sy. Let's give it up for my sister. Everybody can clap. This is good. And my sister she's the most talented person in the family. And we started a family business, a signature scent company. So if you like smoke a lot of weed in your car and you want to get the scent out, you have to check out these scents. I know guys that use it for the weed. I know people that use it for cologne and everywhere they go to get compliments. We make candles. We make
room sprays. We got them in kits. So if you want to buy something for your loved one or anybody, you know, that you care about, hit us up, LorraineCo.com.
And we're going to put the website at the bottom of it. But support this black business, support this black woman, and order, I promise you guys. And matter of fact, use the word gods, and we'll give you 15% off. I just made that up, so if my sister face looks crazy, don't get mad at her. I'll eat that. But guys, when I tell you this shit is incredible, you really should check this out.
The best scents ever.
LorraineCo.com, and we'll put it at the bottom of the screen. What's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and welcome to the God Show. Let's go! Hey! And today, before we get into who our guests are, shout out to you guys for watching. Like, share, subscribe, all the stuff we need that keeps this thing going. We appreciate y'all. And shout out to our sponsors, Two Laws Distribution, Tote and Carry, and Yoko Vodka on top of LorraineCo. Shout out to all of our sponsors, and shout out to you for watching. But today's show, y'all gonna see me laughing a lot, right? Because these are my brothers. We already been laughing off camera. So these are my guys right here. So I watched these brothers build One Music Fest up to be the biggest festival, the most loving black festival. It almost feels like it rivals now what was happening in Philly on that Hove was doing the.
Oh,
it feel like that was the big black one, but it feel like now y'all have surpassed that. So I want to give some applause, some love, some credit to Troy, Motown, and Jay from One Music Fest. Let's go!
Appreciate it,
guys.
My brother.
What makes you guys? First of all, shout out to y'all for being black excellence. Mm. Like,
thank you, brother.
One Music Fest. I've been to a lot of festivals. I hate festivals. Mm. I hate them. It's a lot of walking.
That's right.
It's a lot of stages.
Tell us how you feel.
Y'all festival, and I don't know if it's because it's in Atlanta. I don't know what it is, but it doesn't feel like that. It feels like I just walked into a love fest. It feels like, you know how you walk into a place and you see black people and you kind of like reach to your boy like, hey, yo, stay woke in case some shit go down in here. Y'all shit just feels like, let your guard down, bring your kids, bring your wife, have your side chick over there, have your side nigga over there. Yeah. Nobody's going to fight here. And on the day that Frankie Beverly, rest in peace to Frankie Beverly, y'all festival to me always felt like a Frankie Beverly and Maze concert.
Mm.
Like happy feelings in the air. Like think before I let go, it's like a party, it's young, it's everything, it's cool. What was the inspiration behind how you guys... Like, how did this even come about?
Mm.
Like, who thinks to do something this big? It's almost like, how fucking dare
Phil
you?
Phil Black.
How dare you have the audacity to build something so big and maintain all the blackness of it and maintain, and when they post their photos at the end and you see after the festival is over, you see 50, 60 people, everybody black.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
Phil right. Blackson.
It's Jay, right?
But you hit it on the head, man. I was at a function last night. It was the debate watch party, and somebody that I never met said the same exact thing. They said, "Yo, every time I walk into One Music Fest, it feels like a big black hug."
I never experienced nothing like that before.
She was like, "Yo, like," and she traveled to it.
Yeah.
She was like, "I've never same thing." She's like, "I've never really felt that." And, you know, so, I mean, One Music Fest, the idea of it came about in 2008. But prior to that, I was doing events in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
I had a creative agency. I had a brand marketing company. And the whole theme behind the events that I would do was always something around, like, culture and unity, right? Connecting the dots. And maybe that was the little bit of New York that I kept when I moved to Atlanta in high school. Because in New York, I mean, you're just around everybody, right? I mean, on one block, you had the Haitians, the Dominicans, the Puerto Ricans, so it was just a melting pot of music, smell, sound, language,
fun.
But music brought us all together.
Yeah.
And so like the first event I did in Atlanta that kind of blew up was like Soul Fusion in the early 2000s. And it was the actual tagline of Soul Fusion was Intercontinental Love Fest.
Mm.
And we had, like, you look in one corner, it'd be, you know, now our mayor, Andre Dickens, right? Over there. And then it'll be Coach K over there. And then you look over there and it's Clay, you know, rest in peace.
R.I.P. Clay.
You know, but it will be, I mean, it'll be from your dope boys to your corner office execs to the music and the fusion of music that and the experience that we created was infectious. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And then I started working with some brands and the folks that was controlling the money with these brands didn't look like us.
Mm.
Right? And I was listening to like the conversation they was having about blacks and black culture and how they spend money on black events, and I was like, "This some bullshit.
Yeah.
This some bullshit." You know, like even how they put us in a box and imagine what black culture should be.
Yeah,
right. And then in listening to these conversations and then starting to explore like the festival market, I saw this big gaping hole.
Mm-hmm.
Of how festivals are being programmed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They'd have hip hop on stage and R&B on stage, but it'd be white folks in the audience.
Mm.
And so, but it was that community feel that I had, you know, white folks kind of skipping and hugging and laid out. Mm, and
the freedom of it
drinking.
All.
Drinking.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, like this level of joy and connectivity.
Yeah.
Like we don't, like we're. Where is that for us?
Yeah.
Like, look at these folks barefoot and frolicking and like, yo, like, where's that for us?
Yeah.
And I couldn't find it. And then I started looking for mentors and people that can kind of help guide me through it. I couldn't find mentors. So it was one of those fuck it.
Yeah.
Let's just try it ourselves.
Yep.
So I was like, all right, well, Mo, he knows folks in the industry. My other homeboy got a transportation company. My other homeboy owns a venue, and he knows production and staging, you know. And I got my other homegirl over here who understands, like, licensing and permits and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So let me just try to piecemeal it together myself. Mm-hmm. And then, then sold the concept and idea to some of the brands that I was already working with. They invested a couple of dollars, and then that was the birth of it back in 2010.
What was the hardest part, right? Because obviously people watch this, and of course this is a celebration for One Music Fest. We love that, but like there's somebody right now that's in the infantile stage, and they're like, they're trying to get to as big as you are, right?
Yeah.
And obviously they see us saying, "Man, it was hard." But like, what were the hardest parts for you guys starting this festival from the beginning? Like, what were the biggest challenges that you had to get over?
I mean, money.
It's
1,000% money. I mean, it's kind of like, it's having a big idea. Like, bro, you got 10 people in this room right now
mm-hmm.
doing production.
Mm-hmm.
You had other folks down the hallway working on other things, and
mm-hmm.
and all came from an idea that you had.
Yep.
Right? But as you piece together ideas, a lot of times you don't have a budget sheet and spreadsheet attached to it.
That's my biggest problem right now.
Fuck it and go. Mm-hmm. Let's go. Oh, let's figure it out.
Right, spending money out to bill money. You're like just throwing, it's like got to get done. I'm telling you.
And it's little things that you're not thinking about that goes with producing
the
a podcast.
You can't see.
Right.
Yeah.
Like a goddamn porta potty.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Cancellation insurance.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Weather insurance. You know, like fencing, flooring. You know, how much does a stage and scrims cost? Like random stuff, you know?
Yeah.
All right, we need police officers. How many police officers do you know? I don't know, maybe 100? 100? Okay, cool. How much are cops? 75 an hour. Like, it's like, you know, and you, so it's like, I need them for, it's so, it's expenses that be hitting you left and right. And you're like, man, I'm paying $500,000 for toilets?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a little bit of that. you know, trying to manage the, let's deliver the joy to the culture.
Yeah. But also,
but how are we going to pay for it? Yeah.
Just like with sports, you're going to lose before you win.
Yes. Think, boom. You got to be able to stomach that.
That's yeah. right.
Like,
that's right.
That's what being an entrepreneur is about. Like, yeah. I wish people understand that. Everybody wants to win, but they don't understand that there's a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. There's a discipline that comes in at first. And by the way, it's even with me. Like, I like this conversation. I like my team to hear.
Yeah.
Because it's like, nigga, look where they at right now. And we in here, we be in here having our meetings like, we need more of this. Like, we got, because it's like, we trying, but it's okay to try.
That's right.
That's what I want you to understand. It's okay to try because we don't have nobody coming in here saying this is how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Black people don't have that. I always tell the biggest problem that we have as a culture is that we have no lineage that we can go to for anything that we want. So it's like I'm the richest person in my family. When I have money issues or I'm trying to figure out payroll, taxes, everything, I have no one I can call.
Yeah.
And I don't even trust nobody to call because what if they fuck it up? You know, it's like those mistakes really cost you more than anything. Yeah.
That's right.
Even by, if you think about what he said, when he was looking for mentors, like the people before us, and Ray, you know this in the industry, the people before us be so intimidated by the people that's coming behind, and they trying to hold on to their spot that they don't want to give you the game. Yep. They don't want to give you information.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's trial and error, which I can say about our team, like we don't really, every one of us has somebody like that we give game to.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like there's people now running companies that came in under Jay. Mm. There's people that's running companies that came in under Troy or Steve, under myself.
Mm.
Like we pride ourselves in that. Like we don't want to be the guys that just like, okay, look, man. Like when we retire, the game is over because we ain't giving it to nobody else.
You better figure it out like I have to.
I mean, one of the proudest things, to be quite honest with you, is it's like the Nick Saban coaching tree.
Yeah.
Right.
The OMF tree is pretty, pretty significant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Real talk.
And it's amazing.
Yeah, for sure. No, I'm telling you, I see it. And I like that you guys are taking the brand further when you did the Houston or the Dallas event with Summer Walker and was it Wayne?
Wayne.
Summer Walker. And then, you know, I see you guys just did something where everybody was exercising. I didn't get invited.
Fit to the fist.
That's not, I'm calling Troy out. I'm gonna call out and get invited. I saw that shit. I was like, I like to stretch. Like,
I'm trying to get in shape.
I would have worn a shirt with OMF shirt. Like, no I would have did that. So I like that you guys are like taking, like you guys are really. It's like growing up in the hood, right? Like a broom might have way more than just. It might be way more than just something to sweep the house. You know, it's you use the whip the kids when they get your motherfucking ass. So we know how to use things and flip it around. And I'm gonna use this side for this. Right. So seeing how you guys have built, was that always the plan? Like, or are you guys like in real time discovery? Because I ain't gonna lie, like y'all are really smart. Like I've never had a low vibrational conversation with Jay. And Jay the type of nigga for everybody. Jay the type of guy that will check you. Jay will check me for somebody. Somebody said on my show and be like, "I'm gonna see you about that." So Jay is always when you see him, you are gonna get some form.
If I love you.
But that's you though. That's what I'm saying. So my thing is that I have so much respect for you. What you guys have done, I just want to know for myself. Are you guys like seeing it ahead of time, like? All right, 100 yards from now, we're going to do this. Or is it like right in your face? It's like, yo, we might have to do something somewhere else because, how does it work?
I think it's both.
Yes,
I think it's definitely both, man. Yes, it's a yes and.
Yeah.
And we don't do it enough. And a lot of folks are nervous about using that platform for greater good.
Yes.
Or having a voice, right? I think that's always kind of been a part of the DNA, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, from having Warnock on our stage to having Stacey Abrams on our stage, from doing we did the city's largest mayoral debate, bigger than AJC and any other media platform, right?
Power.
And, you know, Killer Mike was one of the moderators. Like, it was just dope.
Yeah.
And it was our way of saying, y'all need to stop overlooking us.
Yeah.
Yo, this voice of the community, of these Gen Z, Gen X, millennials, music lovers, folks that don't come suited up every day into into an office, like, we vote.
Yeah.
Our voices matter. Yeah. Right? And so it's always been about that. So I think the one time it really kind of punched me in the face was in 2013. We did it at a venue. And I remember the venue owners, the venue owner was cool with it, but the cat that managed the venue was a little nervous about One Music Fest being there, right? And had to talk him through it. And, you know, I was coming with the brand, and he was like, this dude's a little different the way he's trying to do his program. Shit.
Yeah.
And so, you know, at the festival, he had a couple of drinks. He's feeling comfortable. You know, he's standing next to me, and we were talking. He was looking around. He's like, yo, Jay, this is very different than what I expected.
Yeah.
And I was like, really?
What the fuck did you expect?
What you expect? Exactly. And he was like, yeah, you know, he started doing the, you know I'm saying, the little, I know what I want to say, but I don't want to say it.
Because I don't know if you're going to receive it like I'm being, like, exactly.
Then alcohol took over. And he said, you know, it's not ghetto. And I said, motherfucker. So
you gotta take it.
I said, ghetto. Yeah. He said, you know, it's different. So again, like, when you say hip hop or when you say black culture to like a lesser hue, they already have an image of what they that think is going to be.
Yeah.
And our shit is like, yo, we have to continuously rise, like lift the bar, raise the bar.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Let them show that, like, there's different shades and dynamics of black culture.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, them understanding, how do you put Snoop Dogg and a Reese and a Guapole in the same space and it
works? And it works.
Right? Motherfucker, it worked.
Yeah.
That's how we digest and listen to music.
Yeah.
Right? We put Kirk Franklin and 3-6 Mafia on the same stage.
And The Lock.
Yeah, let me tell you.
Right after each
and
other.
And Kirk rocked it, and nobody moved.
Murdered it.
Like, he almost had him moving more than 3-6 Mafia.
You know, but you know what it is, though? I tell people, it's almost like black culture should be what BET Awards are. That's what black culture is. You're going to have this year's BET Awards. You're going to have Will Smith come out. You're going to have kids perform, though. You're going to have, oh, by the way, we're going to take 3 minutes to shine a light on these entrepreneurs in the fashion space. Mm-hmm. Or this guy is an educator in the educator space. Like, that's what we really are.
Mm-hmm.
It's just rap music and any world, by the way. Negative shit goes way further than positive shit. So that's not a black thing. That's an anybody thing.
Real talk.
But because they see us doing it, they look at us like, well, that's the loudest, that got to be y'all. And it's like, nah, One Music Fest is really who we are.
Right.
That's, you know, that's why I say that, because that's who we are when our mama's around. That's who we are when our teachers are around.
Correct.
You know, it's, you know what I'm trying to say? It's like when you come, like it's almost like that space where he's like, I don't like him.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill that nigga, but I can't do that here.
But that's the thing, like, that's why we are like the biggest homecoming, the biggest family reunion. Cause you gonna show up at the family reunion, you and your cousin might have a problem, but after this, it's gonna be all love. You know what I mean? And people be so, it's funny to touch upon what Jay said, when after the festival, or people's first time and they experience it, and they're like, damn, man, it was just all love, it wasn't no problems. Yeah. I'm like, you black, what the hell do you expect? Yes. Like, what you expected, what do you expect from us? I expected it to be fighting, and I'm like,
Nah.
But, you know what I mean? But it's also teaching us how to operate.
That's the greatest part about it.
And you know, listen, my brother's right, but there's genius in even the tagline, One Music Fest is unity through music.
Through music.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's the through line, right? So it's like, you know, we talk about money, but then you got to talk about, okay, how do we bring the brands and the brands into it. It's the same fight.
Mm-hmm.
Explaining to them the value of our culture.
Yes.
Right? On a high level. Not the cheap dollars.
Yes. Yep.
The real dollars.
I see the stage.
Right?
I see stage.
The real dollars. Right?
Yeah.
So we have to explain to them, this is the value of who we are. This is what we do. This is what we bring to the table. And not just on the ground as a festival, but as a media property.
Yeah.
That's what this is now. It's a ongoing, always on media property.
Yes.
So that's what you're investing in. And it's progressive urban. don't just call us urban. We are a progressive people. So we talk to our community as like who they are. You got to call a queen a queen.
Yeah,
that's right. Got to call a king a king.
Yep. That's right.
So when they enter into the space, right, the vibrations are there. So like Mo said, now we have to teach our folks how to operate in our environment. Yo, and there's been some times where you saw the energy go up a little bit. It's like, and the crowd, we don't do that.
That's not what we do here. Yeah. Your auntie is like, hey, no, we not doing that.
That's not what we do here.
Not in this space. Yes.
That's right.
That, but by the way, which to me shows you who we really are. It's who we really are. That's who we really are. We want to be around each other. We want to love each other.
That's right.
We just want to feel safe with each other. And sometimes it's those authoritative figures in the room that you like, he here. I ain't gonna do that. Oh, she's here. Lucky your mama in the room, nigga. I would have went crazy. I would have went off on you. But you know, and that's but that's respect for mama.
Right.
And that's also letting you know that he might not kill you. Cause he like, oh, I still consider your mama.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, if a nigga really wants you dead, he don't give a fuck if your kids is there. You die tonight. You know, but when nigga like your mama here ain't gonna do that to you, it's still a little piece of love. You know, it gotta be. Y'all are dangerous, bro. I ain't gonna lie to y'all, man. So obviously I'm in business and I do a lot of business myself. And you know, I have my tactics.
We see the house and all that. Yeah.
Hold on, hit me out. Hold on. Before you go there, let me go there. Hit me out. I'm just saying. Where y'all at right now? I'm a guess over under. For me, I'm gonna play the game. Y'all tell me if I'm over under, right?
Here we go.
I'm gonna play a game. Where y'all at right now? I'm a guess. It's the percentage of where y'all know y'all gonna take it. I know this. This one right here, it's like, he's like Obama, my nigga. Jay is like, he's smart enough, he understands. So I'm gonna ask y'all this. Looking at how big this thing is y'all built, what percentage, based on what you're planning on building, what percentage are y'all at on y'all journey? I'm gonna guess and say, y'all not at 50. I'm gonna guess and say about 30%. Y'all, and I'm talking about as big as y'all are right now, y'all at 30%. I know it.
Good guess.
That's a great guess.
HBCUs,
home. Like, I'm already looking at y'all. I'm like, y'all niggas dead. I just, listen, man, just when y'all need a spokesperson, and I know y'all call bank. Everybody gonna call bank. And some people, I just want to be on the end of the list where it's like, Ray will do it, because I already know what y'all doing. Like, when you see growth, like you said, when you see progressive growth, it's kind of like, how the fuck did they get there that fast? Oh, they had a plan. It's not like Jeff Bezos didn't become Jeff Bezos.
Right.
He started off selling books, but that nigga knew he was going after Walmart.
That's right.
Walmart don't even see me coming. Let me master this delivery system. Let me figure out how to Nobody cares about that. Now Walmart is Walmart Plus. Everybody's trying to compete with Amazon because no one knew his plan.
That's right.
I know y'all got a plan. And I don't even think we had, I think we had about 30%, which is scary.
You're right.
That's great.
My number was 25%.
And I started saying 25, but I was like, let me give him a little bit more. Because I already know. Because I can just imagine I have a board with all of the information. Like, this is where we're going to go. This has to go right. But we have to do this. And then once you do that, we pivot to this. I already know.
Yeah.
So when it comes to festivals, I say, me and Mo talked about this. I say, I think festivals, not including y'all, I'm going to be honest with you. I was really talking about hip-hop festivals. I think hip-hop festivals have killed hip-hop. Right, because to me, what it did was it made. Look how we see and talk about One Music Fest. Look how we love friends. Everybody's there. This, we haven't mentioned one fucking performer yet.
Real talk.
Because it's not about the performers. It's about the experience amongst each other, and whoever's the performer just so happened to be the person that's on stage that's blessing us with the fucking music for the moment. But we don't even care who the performers are.
That's right.
But I say that to say, you got to be smart enough to know that. So imagine if you're a rapper coming up, you got a hot record, and now somebody's like, here's $120,000 to come perform at this festival. You think you worth
$120,000.
No. You just got invited to the experience, bro.
Right. You're part
like,
of the experience.
We going to One Music Fest every year, no matter what. Y'all just surprise us with, here's who's going to be there for us when we get there. Right. But we going no matter what because of the experiences. But I say that. These hip hop festivals have made hip hop artists think that they are up here without doing the work down here, which is why we have so many. Like, the game is so disparaging. Where I don't think no one can say they like where it is outside of the money.
Well, and they can't go into a room and sell any hard tickets.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to get at
all.
Like,
yeah.
So how do y'all feel about festivals and impacting culture?
I won't say it's the festival, so to speak. Some festivals tend to overpay, and then that makes people think that is their value. I think that it's just where we are in 2023, 2024, as far as artists and musicians, and like the work has not been put in, but people, you know, yep. post COVID, yep. now everybody's like trying to get the big bag. They're yes. trying to overcharge and they're trying to do these things. Of yep. course, you're not selling hard tickets, so all right, I got to get it from the festivals. But I think that there's a reset.
Yeah.
Right.
Coming.
Yeah. Oh, because you have to, like, artists, management, agents, labels, festivals, show producers, you all got to kind of come together and be like, okay, if we want this to continue, everybody ain't going to be able to do what Beyonce and Taylor Swift do, sell sure. out five or six shows in the city a night. That's just not reality yep. of what it is, right? But, and then you got to look at your numbers. If, you know, your hard ticket number is saying this is what you deserve, this is what you should get, but you're trying to overcharge, nobody's going to be able to make money. So now you're going to have less festivals, less producers, less promoters, and less opportunities for you to actually make money in this.
Yeah, for sure. That's real.
But you know the game, bro.
Yeah, but I'm on the other side, so I'm... it's a marathon, but when these artists are coming in, that was my frustrating part about being in the business. It was like... And don't get me wrong, people are going to take this wrong, but if you do, I don't care. We're making them too rich too fast.
Yeah.
It's almost like in sports. Like,
that's right.
You give a motherfucker a contract because he had one good game. Well, you don't know what you're going to get after that. Because is he happy? Is the contract his win?
Right.
Because, you know, some people are praying for money. They ain't really paying for success. It's like, I just want $1 million. So
yeah.
I'm watching us, like, put money in front of culture when it can't be that way. Mm-hmm. We have to put us first. Because it's like the mafia movies, the mob movies. Like, I don't give a fuck if they gangsters or not. The family always comes first.
That's right.
We don't make no decision. And we have to see ourselves, the black community, as a family. And we got to kind of go with what's good for the family. And if that means getting behind you guys, then we got to get behind you guys. That's the right. end.
Artists right. and the quick lick and the quick money. And like, what people understand is this. There's a difference when you're dealing with, like, music. There's a difference between a consumer and a fan.
Mm-hmm.
A consumer, if you're an artist and you're like, okay, I got to get a hot record, I'm going to create a bunch of consumers. But you're only hot as that record.
Yep.
So when that record dies down, nobody's like buying your merch, nobody's coming to see your shows, none of that, right? But then when you look at the artist that has created a fan base, you look at somebody like the Kendricks, mm-hmm. the Coles, the Tyler, the Creators.
Yeah.
Like, when you see artists like that, the Wizzes,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, Wiz is going to make money every year by just off his merch.
Yeah.
He doesn't even have to tour out records. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so now but in the process of creating a fan base, because now the fans aren't really connected to the mm-hmm. artist.
Yep.
They shouldn't, they won't post, they won't do this, they don't visit the markets unless it's for a show, they don't do interviews, they don't, you know, before,
for interviews
you
now,
had
like,
to
damn.
Go to, you had to do in-stores,
yeah.
you know what I mean? You had to do the visits, you had to do the meet and greets, you had to, like, shake hands and kiss babies,
yeah.
and then people became fans, they became fans of you, and then they defend you, and they ride with you. You're not creating that. They're creating a bunch of consumers. So you're only hot as the last record that you had.
Exactly. No, I'm with you. You want to say something?
Yeah, man. So
that deep breath is, man.
This is a long discussion. Dude. We could go real deep on this one.
Yeah, bro. But it's... you built your house?
Not the one I live in, but I built one from scratch before.
All right. So you build your house, and then you let somebody stay at your house.
Okay.
Right. They stay at your house for. They say, oh, you know, I'll just be a couple of weeks. You go, mm-hmm. All right, you're cool. All right, I got to go out of town anyway. You know what I'm saying? You do your thing, hold it down. You know?
Yeah.
And then they say, you know what? I want to stay a little longer. Let me just stay for a couple of years. Okay, yeah.
Real long. Okay.
And you put a lot of work and effort into building your house.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? The finishings, you know what I'm saying? And you literally put your soul and personality into building this home.
Okay.
Right? And you got somebody not even from Atlanta, from you know, another city, whatever. Yep. You know what I'm saying? And they're living in your house for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Right? How you think your house gonna look when you come back?
It's gonna look like them.
It's going to look like them.
Whatever they do, their habits, whatever they do is going to look like them.
Right? You think they're going to respect the house?
No. Not like they would if they paid for it.
I think the problem is our fucking culture is rented out.
Mm.
And we build it, we live it, we move in it without even thinking about it.
Mm.
But the people that have now commandeered our culture don't give a shit about it, and they're profiting from it.
Mm, right? Okay.
So when you talk about flash, flash in the pants artists, that's hot today and going tomorrow. When you talk about inflated prices mm-hmm. of these artists to perform yeah. now, when you talk about these hip hop festivals,
yeah,
right. All those hip-hop festivals, all those hot now, gone tomorrow artists, all those artists that are being, that are overpriced,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Who's controlling that market? Mm-hmm. Who's controlling those festivals?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Us.
Who? It's a money grab right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't give a fuck about the culture. Like, you talk about trying to build something special and we yeah. got to care and take care of each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But there's thieves in the house.
Mm.
There's thieves in the house.
Mm.
And they don't really care about what happens next.
Mm.
Right?
Yes. Like, it's like driving a rental car. Like, yeah, when you drive your car, when you hit that speed bump, you go... Right. You know, slow. When you're in a rental car, boom, boom, boom.
Shit rattling.
In my car, shit.
So I think we're dealing with a lot of that. I think we're almost too loving and accepting
of
everybody. Yep.
All you gotta do is have a little rhythm and you at the barbecue now.
Come on, man. Come on. And
or be able to say a few of our slang words.
Yep. Like it surprises us. Now you're one of us. I hate that.
So when you talk about A&R, like yeah. developing artists,
yep.
right? Like that was in hip hop and R&B. What was the hue of most the A&R reps?
What do you mean? Like what was the?
What skin tone?
Oh, and back well
R&B.
When I came up black, it was the A&Rs were black, but their bosses were all white.
All white.
So the nurturers,
yep. but you actually had a black music division back then.
Yeah, then it was ran by white people, but we still.
Mm-hmm.
And when it started making more money, they merged us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like they didn't care about us. Y'all, correct. Y'all here go y'all little budget. Y'all go over there. Then once streaming came in and money started flowing, mm-hmm. they said no. That sits under us now. We control that again. Mm-hmm. So that's why.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of that, man. And I this is not like I don't want to make this like a big race thing, But let's talk the facts.
We have the whole court as a community.
Let's talk the facts, right?
Daniels, a.k.a. the Coach Referee. And I want to ask you, are you ever frustrated with uploading a video to YouTube and you get no views? I know I was when I first started. If you're a music artist and you have your own podcast or your content creator, look no further. WAM Promotions has gotten you covered. They specialize in high-end targeted YouTube campaigns that deliver real views, real subscribers, and most importantly, real growth. So if you're struggling with real organic YouTube growth, I'm here to tell you to go on WAM Promotions and use the promo code GODS and receive 20% when you check out. Tell them Ray sent you, you got 20% off.
So I think it's a lot of that. I think it's a lot of, artists are being used, you know what I'm saying, the disposable. I think the culture has been hijacked, you know? And so I think that's why certain platforms, certain festivals, certain companies, like they almost have to exist.
Yeah.
When you look back into '80s, why do we have more media outlets and black-owned media outlets and publications in the '80s than we do today?
Mm. Never thought about that.
Black people spend $1.2 trillion a year. Mm-hmm. If we were a country, we'd be like the 13th strongest, wealthiest country in the world. But we don't own our shit. And the moment we decide to say we want to own something, what y'all doing over there?
Yeah. Somebody's up.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
It's like back in the day. It's like how we started up when you said the audacity for you to build something. Think that you can build something that big.
For our culture.
For my people.
Like, what is, like, why is that a problem?
Why is that scary?
You know what I'm saying?
You're right.
Yeah, you see black guys hanging out on the corner and then the police, yo, hey, what y'all doing?
What the fuck y'all got going on? Nah, we just, exactly.
We singing.
It's
a statement, but it's how do you correct it? Because I don't want to be one of these guys that's just throwing shit out there. Not for saying, sure. Right. So,
but to be honest with you, I got to stop you. You are correcting it. And to be honest with you, doing interviews like this is what's needed. Because I know you, because I've encountered you at every room. There's a powerful room. Jay is at that table. When Kasim didn't win last one, and it was y'all that was like, come over here and meet Dre. That's how I know Dre from you and Zach, right? So it's like you've always been there. So I just, you have to be the person that's willing to talk, because like what Obama did, and I don't want to go there, but what Obama did, I always say people, I hate when black people say Obama didn't do shit. The most important thing he did was he told us it was possible. He showed us it was possible. That was enough for me. Like seeing a black man win the presidency, and I would have bet my life that I would never saw it in my lifetime. Mm. And he was the one guy that had the balls, the catch slogan, everything to do it. And we rallied around him. And by the way, I think that progressed us a lot.
Mm. Right?
But agreed. People like yourself, people like Troy, people like you, Mo, even people like myself, like when I wanted to do this pod, I was telling the guys, I was on the phone with a lawyer like a couple years ago. And I was, you know, I like to talk to different cultures and tell them what I'm doing. I'm like, I'm about to do this podcast. I think I could really change the music industry. And he goes, no, you can't. I mean, literally, like personal. Just matter of fact, like, no, you can't. That's impossible. I mean, do your thing, but you're not going to change nothing. Today, I'm on the phone, and he goes, man, you really on your way to being like the hip-hop Tyler Perry. I love what you, like, he forgot he told me that.
Right.
Mm. But that's cool, because all people do is put their fears on you.
That's right.
That's all right. It is. They put it's only impossible. It's only possible till one person comes in a room and says, I think we can do that.
That's right.
And you, that guy, so... If the kids don't know a guy like you exists, then they're gonna all chase the low vibrational shit that's easy, because that's all we see is rappers, drug dealers, athletes. So when Biggie said you either sell crack rock or you got a wicked jump shot, that was our reality, but not in 2024.
Right.
You could be a YouTuber. Look at Kasha now. You know how many kids is on there? How many parents is letting their kids play? Right. Just Twitch though, just go live. Right. Just make sure you, because it's like this kid is making $5-6 million a month.
Crazy
playing video games, right. So I think it's a new world, but our heroes must step up,
right?
And we see some of our heroes being taken down, like just like in the middle of like as soon as they get good, it's like, nope, nigga, you're dead now.
That's right.
So for me, like watching that happen, it's like, where's our heroes, Jay? Where's our hero Mo? Where's our heroes, Troy? Like, where are our heroes? Because what are these kids gonna see? Like, it's gonna be some kids that watch this 16, 17, and be like, shit. We could do that.
Right.
And it's because of y'all.
But we also got to be extremely precise.
Key.
In how we move.
Yep. Absolutely.
Right? Because there's only we only have longevity for as long as we have the ability to activate.
That's right.
You know what it's like being black strategize. In America? You know what it's like being black in America? It's like, have anybody ever seen that movie, Remember the Titans?
Yeah. Of course.
One of the classics, right?
Absolutely.
They give the black man a job. And then right before the season starts, they walk up to Denzel and say, hey, look, I'm sorry. Look, man, if you lose one game, it's over for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
That's what being black is like in America. We got to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, he was perfect.
He was.
But like, even with you guys, like, think about, this is not even for y'all. I'm gonna just tell the world what y'all deal with. Your guys have created a hub, right? And it's that OMF hub, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you want everybody to come in. But as they come in, you're telling the brands, look, my people are good. Look, I'm telling you, it's worth investing my money. You're telling your people, please don't fuck this up. Please don't fuck this up because we got these brands. And there's so much on the line. And only people know is y'all. Because if it goes wrong, then it's just on the shade room. Oh, shooting happened and everything else. Right, right. But it's literally, they literally knocked down a whole empire. Just because one nigga want to be dumb. So y'all have to be like, hey, bro, come in. That's what, so I, even when I do a party at mine, people are like, you throwing a party at your house? I'm like, I want to show people I'm not afraid of y'all. I'm not afraid of y'all. Come to the house. Yeah, swim. Have your kids swim. I'm not afraid of y'all. I'm one of y'all. And if somebody acts out, I don't mind speaking up. Hey, bro. Like, we just gave away 1,000 laptops. We had our meeting yesterday, Sunday. 1,000 laptops. Thank you, bro. And we gave it away a lot. And while we was doing it, you know, of course, you know, once the trailer opened up and, you know, Jay, they knew we was giving laptops out, it was like a fucking mob was out there. You know, like, and by the way, it's women, kids, husbands, everybody like, ah. And one of the guys at the front was like, hey, back the fuck up. Back the fuck up. Literally. In front of me, because I'm standing on top of the truck. I lean down. I touch the shoulder like, hey, bro.
We good, dog.
Don't talk to kids like that.
Yeah.
We don't do that when I'm around. We don't do that, period. That's not what this is for.
Yeah.
My bad, Ray. And then he went back to being cool.
Yeah.
But that's what we have to do.
Absolutely.
And that's the hard part. That's the part that makes us, that stresses us out, because it's like, bro.
Right.
It's too much on the line.
That's right.
For you to act like a nigga right now.
Yep.
Like right now, this is a moment for black people. We don't need nobody acting like niggas, embarrassing us. Because one bad thing will kill the rest of this shit around. Not just in Atlanta. If they can't act right in Atlanta and they black, well, you think they're gonna act right in Compton?
Exactly. Right.
You think they're gonna act right in Chicago? If they can't act right in Atlanta where all the people from across the country, like you, who from the West Coast that want some peace, comes here.
Exactly. Right.
And you can't, so it's I just commend y'all for that, because that's what I see. I'm like, man, these niggas probably got,
There's a responsibility in leadership that I don't think people, for instance, what you do, you gotta think, right? We grew up in an industry where we've always been told, like, all right, be behind the scenes, like, you know, make the money behind the scenes. Don't, let the stars be stars. And then kids grow up to believe that the only way I can make money in this is if I'm actually the artist. They never knew that, you know what I mean, that they didn't know about the Berry Gordys. They didn't know, they didn't know about, you know, all of these people behind the scenes.
The Tony Drapers.
The Step Johnsons, the Drapers. They're like, oh. So now when they see people like you, when they see people like us, and now they're in the forefront, they say, oh, I can actually make a career out of this without being this person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so going back to Barack, like, he got a lot of slack because people are like, I would have did. If he would have did that, it would have never been a Kamala Harris or anybody like him. It would have been like, oh, no.
Real talk.
We gave him a break and he act like a nigga.
Yep, bruh.
Yeah, never be another one.
We set back. Obama had one scandal.
Right.
If LeBron had one scandal,
he had to be perfect in every.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Facet of life.
That's what black people have to be in America.
That's a lot of responsibility.
I agree.
Yep.
And by the way, that's where the arrogance comes from. You don't know that I wake up every day and commit to this character. You don't know that there's a nigga in me. You don't know that I went to school. And I'll be honest with you. You don't know that there's a nigga that wants to come out.
Who wants to come out every day.
Right now. And you fucking with him.
Yeah. It's controlled rage.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
You almost saw it in the presidential debate last night.
No.
I take everything.
I want to talk about that, by the way. I will.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime somebody says something about politics.
Yo.
Jay don't play. Yeah. I want, like, even what, but one thing, let's just cover that really quick. So the debate last night,
yeah.
I loved it. And so, the reason why I loved it was because it was something that I don't know if anybody caught. He never looked at her.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I think he was afraid to look at her because the disdain in his face would have came out, and it would have made him look how he's looking at a woman.
That's right.
But the fact
a
that
black woman.
But the fact that she approached him directly from the beginning, and I said, oh, she's got him.
Yeah,
and she said, Kamala Harris.
Yep.
Did you see the way but watch the video again. When she approaches him, he steps back a little bit.
Yeah.
Because she walked up on him.
Like he was almost afraid. She was about to steal on him.
He's like, oh my God.
He was like, oh.
And you know the crazy thing is that his problem is, and I caught it last night, he can't remove him from politics. Because the politicians be dissing each other, but they be friends.
Right.
Like, they really hanging out at dinner. That's like, it's all political theater.
Yeah.
We know that. But I think for him, it was like.
I don't think it's theater with him, though.
Yes, it's not. No. It was like, he really is like.
A sociopath.
Because even after the debate, when they was talking about it, they was like, he fucked up. The Republicans was mad at him.
Yeah.
Why? Because he kept defending himself. It was like, America's fucking with me, and they bothering me, and they took the election from me, and why y'all mad at me? And it's like, she was, and the whole time she just looked at him with a smile. Oh, you know
what the most powerful,
you seen that face when your wife went in the argument?
That's right.
When she went in the argument, she like, no, nigga.
Okay, go ahead, keep talking.
Who's gonna say nigga?
Yeah,
like,
what are the most powerful moments where she was like, I want to invite y'all to a Trump rally. We're going to let's attend the Trump rally, and this is what you're going to see.
That's when
he's going to talk about this. He's going to talk about himself.
He could have immediately went to the people like, I don't care if it's 10 people
about
there.
You.
That's right.
But he could have said, I don't care if it's 10 people there.
It's
we're
the
trying
message.
To change America.
Right.
He
nah.
went back to like, ah, oh, attacking
it's the biggest
it's
ever.
The biggest ever. It's every, and I'm like,
nobody shows up to her.
That's what she set the trap for him, though. As soon as she talked about the attendance. Right, his lack of emotional IQ kicked in.
That's right.
He's not emotionally intelligent.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. No. At all. That's actually his biggest problem.
That's his biggest fault.
He has no emotional intelligence.
At all.
I just want to say he...
Is that his biggest problem?
To me. No. Let me tell you why. Because I don't even think that he believes his own shit. I just believe he's saying what he's saying. By the way, random, it's this documentary on Ronald Reagan. Just watch it. It's on HBO.
Yeah.
And they speak about how Ronald Reagan changed politics
mm-hmm.
because he was the first
real actor
yes. to be a politician.
Yeah.
And he was like a Hollywood, you know, like he was thought like the Hollywood guys because he was one of them. But then he acted like he was this other guy for those people on the Republican side. And that's what made him win.
That's
my point is that it's all fake. It's all theater. But I just want Trump and every person that's watching us to see this is what black men deal with every day when we got to argue with our women. Hey, nigga. Hey, you know what we say?
Yeah, keep
shut
talking.
The fuck up.
That's right.
You know what we say? You say, hey, bro, don't argue with her. You're going, because it's not just what she's saying, it was how she looked at
the posture.
It was like, tell me something. Answer that. I felt bad for him because I'm like,
she's eating you alive, and she's not
what
saying
they
anything.
Do.
She almost hit him with that. This motherfucker. Like,
she almost did.
You know what I'm saying? And I see you at the dough. Damn, she just like dog. A black woman is going to read the fuck out of you. And she's gonna do it with a smile and with love. Because she loves you, by the way. She's gonna let you know, nigga.
Yeah. I love you.
Don't play with me, nigga.
But you're gonna
kill you're gonna do what I. And it's just, to me, I just felt bad because I was like, they didn't prepare him. Because that's something that you gotta be in a black house.
You can't complain.
Because Hillary was dry. She was a politician.
This is like, he's been through. What? This is like, what, his third or fourth round of going the debate? Process like he went, you know what I'm saying?
This is Biden, because he ate Biden up and Biden left.
No. I mean, like the first time he ran, he went through.
Yesterday was his 16th debate.
Then the second time,
it was the 16th
so
debate.
There's no way, like you're not prepared. Like this is on you. You just don't have the mental capacity to be prepared.
You can't prepare for a sister.
But she's a qualified sister.
Yeah, y'all got to let me finish, though.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm saying a sister who is a prosecutor, a high-level prosecutor, district attorney, who was used to standing up in court and dealing with judges and the other side, right? Making the prosecutors,
who understands government.
Who understands government and also has to make her case in front of the jurors to sway the jury. Mm-hmm. Oh, bro. Grand opening, grand closing.
Done.
Like, I don't think he should, by the way, if he would have, after the shooting, if he would have just threw the fist in the air and went and just did MAGA shit, he would have had her. But he could not take his life. I want it. It's almost like, you know what it's like? I'm going to take a 360. It's like, how dare you run for president? How dare you be sitting up here with me? How fucking dare you think you could sit up here on this and argue with me? And it was like, reverse, remix. Yeah. She gave you the remix. Yeah. Crazy. Because
when people if you look at his history with women. Y'all have to understand that as well.
That's why he didn't look at her.
This man does not respect. I don't care if she's black, yellow, polka dot, or purple. His respect for women is non-existent.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So, so even when I see women at support, I'm like, what are you? How? Like, if like
to me, I don't really get into the part because you never like. Like, I remember when he won in 2016, they said, why did women vote? And a woman said, women voted with their husbands. Women voted with what they, like, they white, voted
white,
with their
white
husbands.
Women.
That's like, exactly white women. It was like, he reminded them of their husbands.
Because a black woman going to vote for whoever the hell she want to vote.
Yes, sir. I'm voting how I vote.
Right.
What?
Well, not only were they voting for their husbands, they were voting for themselves.
Yes.
Because they know. If a white man is in power, the next person that they're going to take care of is the white women.
Yep.
So they were voting for them. They were voting with their best interests.
You know what somebody said, bro? I'm going to just throw this at you because I love this conversation. Somebody said that white women's tears have been the destruction of this world.
Oh, my God.
A white woman's... No, by the way, that sounds... I see you laughing, Rocky. That sounds funny, but hear me out real quick.
Absolutely.
Because it's like... Because even me, let's say this. If I see my woman crying... Somebody got paid for it. What happened? Who did it? Right? Mm-hmm. It's just the world we're going. Mm-hmm. So those tears have, and Emmett Till, a white woman's tears. Like, think about how many of us have been hurt or killed or something done because of a white woman's tears. Mm-hmm. So I just think that it's a different time we in now. And I really, like, I wasn't optimistic that she could win. After the debate, I was like, she got him. Because she threw him off. And he showed it. And you can't, you're not emotionally intelligent enough she's not Hillary. She's a lawyer. So she's like, yeah, what you gonna do, Cletus? Like, you know, like that type of shit. You know, if you be in the middle of an argument with your girl and she say some shit to you like, yeah, because you don't like them ugly shoes you got on, nigga. And you be like, hold the fuck on, what? The fuck my shoes got to do with this?
Yo.
But now you gotta address the shoes and then she's winning the argument.
Like, right, now I'm off. I'm off balance now.
Now I'm arguing about my shoes. I bought these shits at Foot Locker. What that got to do with the conversation? But they know how to throw that little bitch. Now what?
Right.
And she did that to him last night. She fucked him up, bro.
When you think about supremacy, like supremacy just like transcends like racism.
Yes.
They also, sexism reigns supreme in the house of supremacy.
Yes.
They can still hold their hat on. At least I got power over my woman. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And so that's the fact that like a woman being in that position or them voting for a woman, they looking at We don't let this nigga win.
Yeah.
But we can't hold our hat on, at least I'm better than the nigga,
but
at least I'm better than this woman, than the women.
Yep, exactly. I was going to ask you this. So let's get back to One Music Festival.
Yeah, man. My bad. Yeah.
What I'm going to ask all three of y'all, what was your favorite year and why?
I know this one easy for me.
I already know.
I'm going to ask your favorite year, and then the next question is, what's your favorite moment?
My favorite year is 2016. I'm not 2016. What was it 19? The year we had
Lauryn Hill?
No. Kurt. You had Kurt Franklin.
DMX.
3-6 Mafia. DMX. KP and Friends.
Yeah. Oh, that's what.
That year. I think like
that was special.
It wasn't a bad performance
that
hit the stage.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It was like emotional moments. Trina's mother had just passed and she performed. Oh, yeah. So it was like, it was just.
So for you, it was 2019.
I'm going to say that was also probably That was also probably, I would say, one of the most slept on lineups we've had.
Yeah.
When niggas start talking about a lot of being slept on, that's some curated shit right there.
Like when you looked at 19 lineup, I even think that about, I will say on 19. But 19, when you looked at everything that was a part of 19, I think people was, you know, it's a lot of times people look for the headliners.
Yeah.
It was a laundry list of headliners. Like everybody had their moment. I'm talking about from Wu-Tang to DMX to, you know, from, bro, it was Usher and Pharrell and Little John on stage. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just moment after moment. It was a 3-6 Mafia.
Snow Allegra. Big Boy was on the Sprite stage.
Yeah. Yes, bro, yes, I remember
like,
that, yeah.
And I think people was like, who's headlining? The whole fucking lineup's a headliner. Yeah. What are you talking about? So, I mean, like, I feel like that with this year. Like, looking at our lineup this year.
So, give them the lineup now for the people watching. Who's the lineup this year?
But what if we got to finish your question?
I want to get the names, though. Like, Troy, you ain't going to get up the hook, Troy. I want you to tell me your favorite year. I ain't get Jay's favorite year either.
Okay. Oh, we don't. Go ahead.
Favorite year, everyone says 2016. So it's almost cliche now.
Which 2016 was?
Dungeon Family.
That's my favorite moment, but yeah.
Dungeon Family.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Which one was the one where I was at backstage at the one where Lauren performed and I think.
Lil Baby?
Lil Baby wasn't even big. Like, I remember.
Oh, that was 15.
Savage. I remember 21 Savage hanging out backstage. Somebody introduced me to him. Mm-hmm. Like, this kid is coming up right now.
2015.
I remember that year. When Nikki, is that when, no, that's not when Nikki nailed it. That was when Ink performed for Lauren backstage, and that went viral. Yep. Yes. I think it went viral. That year.
Yeah, that was special. So you know what? That may be, and I'm going to tell you, and it's, you know, just keeping 100, that was the first year we actually made money.
What?
We lost money for 5 years straight. But that was a special year because, well, I think every year our lineup was incredibly curated. But I think the business side snapped.
Yes.
Like, all right, goddammit, we can't go on a hole again. Yes. This is ridiculous. And then we just had to really put together the business behind it. And then the business behind it mirrored an incredible lineup.
Yeah.
Lauryn Hill on time, ASAP Rocky, you know what I'm saying? Dog, we had SZA.
Yes.
People don't remember. SZA was on that stage in 15. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
So 15 is your year.
15 was special.
What's yours, Troy?
You really?
SZA?
No, 15.
15, that was one of our greatest lineups.
Troy, what about
Monet,
you?
Wale, like it was a moment.
Uh-oh.
He's taking a long pause.
I'll say 23.
I'm with you on 23 for real.
23 was lit.
23 is special.
Yeah, I'm it's between 19 and 23.
23 was the, like, when I was at 15.
It's between 19 and 23.
When I was at 15, I was happy for my brothers.
Yeah.
I was my brother, because it was a big deal. Because I also remember walking through, wasn't it like a stage on the side with the yard?
Yeah.
And that's where Scarface was performing that year. I remember I missed Scarface because I wanted to, exactly. Yeah. But that was the first time I was like, man, I'm proud of my guys. Like, damn, I'm proud of my brother. Like, they did
there was
this.
A lot of people that popped out 15. So it was 21 was back there. Little Uzi Vert popped out with people didn't really know who he was. He popped out with ASAP. SZA. So you got a lot of folks that.
That's the best feeling, though, because that means we picked early.
That's right.
I brought y'all SZA when earlier than anybody else.
That's right. Nobody was thinking about it. That's right.
But I would say 23. You, SZA, 23 was the first time I walked in there, and I was like, damn, these niggas are fucking out of here. They might even speak to us no more like this shit. 23 was like, because, you know, as soon as I walk in, I see it's a stage to the right. Saucy Santana's performing. That's crazy. Remember we did the skating rink.
That was 22, though. Saucy Santana was 22.
That was
Central Park.
That was Central Park.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Well, we did the skating rink. Remember we did with BET? Yeah, we did the skating rink for you. Yeah, 22.
Yeah.
That one was like, damn.
Yeah,
I was at 23, but I worked at 22, and I remember because I had to come in early. So you know, we was part of the event. I was like,
that was the Little Baby.
Yes, Lauren. Nigga, Lauren with her son out, Little Baby.
Yeah, oh, that was a moment,
man.
Yeah, Central
Jasmine.
But that was when I said, I don't think they're going. Yeah. That was when I left it. I was like, I'm gonna text these niggas just to see if they still respond. I'm still like, yo, Mo, what up, bro? Just say what's up. What up, Ray? All right, cool.
All right, we good.
That was the year where I was like, oh, you know, you get that moment. You're like, oh, they never going back.
So that moment.
And Ty had like Ty had the slutty vegan stage, like,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Shut
yeah.
down.
Yes.
Central Park was special. Yeah. Central
Park and now was it's special. In Piedmont this year.
Well.
Oh, it's in Piedmont, right?
When is this airing?
This, no, I'm airing this when y'all tell us. Oh. I'm working along Teresa. Like, it'll come near the thing.
Yeah. So, we may have to switch venues.
So, we don't have to know what the venue is right now. Perfect.
Yeah. Well, but, no, maybe Central Park.
Oh, yeah. So that's a vibe, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
I liked it. Like, yeah. Like y'all turned that whole little area into, like, a world. But right. I like that because it felt like the black version. You know, like, it's like we don't get the main space. That's why I was called for Piedmont. I'm like, Piedmont, for people that don't know, that's what Music Midtown is. That's like the premier. Mm-hmm. If you got Piedmont, you got like
that's it.
G5 clearance type level. Yeah. So when I saw that Central Park, I was like, look, they still turned this shit up.
Right.
Now you asked favorite moment.
Yeah.
My favorite moment, Dungeon Family.
Hands down.
Your favorite moment, Dungeon Family?
Absolutely.
What was it about that moment? Tell me what was about that moment.
For me, because number one, what it took to get, like, it was a lot of conversations and meetings to make that happen. Mm. That was number one. Number two, what it meant for the city. Mm. Like, that was the first time, like, that me personally, while they're performing and people in the audience crying and just cheering and all of these things,
was
the first time I felt like the city was like, this shit is ours.
Yes.
Like, they really put on for the city. Like, it was that moment.
Have you ever been in a situation, and I think the one of the most difficult things about, like, historical moments is, like, if you're in it, you don't know it until it's gone.
When you're in the storm. Right. You can't see the storm when you're in the eye.
You can't see it. That's right. This was a moment where people seeing it on stage knew this shit was historic. Because that's when, you know.
When you realize you're watching history.
Dog, it was grown. When I saw grown men crying, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're a grown man from Atlanta and you have a different kind of admiration for Outkast and the Dungeon Family, right? And to know you've never seen all of them on stage like that together.
Mm-hmm.
To know that Dre, you know, I mean, Dre.
I was going to ask you with Dre, because it's like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah,
we didn't know until 30 minutes before he got on stage. Yeah. The only reason we knew is because we was over at the other stage watching Erykah Badu perform. And while she was performing on stage, she said, you know, I ain't going to keep y'all. I know. I just heard that Andre just rolled up and the Dungeon Family's about to perform.
Ooh, you probably was like,
the last thing and she I gotta go. Said was a mass exodus from her stage said, over what? To the main stage.
Yeah. What?
And then I ran backstage and we saw Dre back there smiling. Mm-hmm. And we was like oh,
it's going to be a good
shit.
Day.
Well, we didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Because Orlando and Rico was like, Dre's here. But I don't know if he's gonna go on stage.
Yes.
And he's like, him being here is enough.
Yes.
Like, that even feels special.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? But, and then after they performed, I remember they were emotional, right? And Lando and Rico, they all said it. They said, man, I don't know if this will ever happen again.
Mm.
Like, this is special. Mm. It just happened tonight. And everybody just stayed backstage for a while and just kind of reveled in that moment.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Timo from Goody Mob was emotional. Like, motherfuckers was emotional. Dog.
Happy. All Music Fest is like the Atlanta reunion. Mm. That's what it is. It's like the Atlanta reunion. It's like the Atlanta reunion, and y'all always have talent. And that's, I don't know if that's on purpose, but y'all always put an Atlanta talent at the top.
Absolutely.
And even it's always an Atlanta talent at the top. Like, I love that y'all do it that way. I wanted to ask y'all, so who's on the lineup this year? Because I got a couple more questions, but who's on the lineup this year? Like, that y'all are excited about?
Oh, shit. I mean, you got Cardi. I'm excited. So, Cardi, Victoria, Monet, Gunna. Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah, the Elements.
What? Elements. Gorilla.
Excited to see Elements.
Jill Scott, Elements, Fantasia, though. Keisha Cole.
By the way, everybody Young you name Moody. It can headline tours.
Absolutely.
All of them.
All of them are headliners.
Who else? Young Nudie.
Boss Man, too. I want to see Boss Man.
D-Lo.
Fantasia.
Fantasia. We even got Sexy Red out there.
Ooh.
The
Med and Red, Larry June.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Tanner Adele. We got some country going on out there. Then you got shit Tips on there. You got Drama's going to do a set. He got some pop outs. Go
Jill Scott. Stupid. Yeah, I Jill forgot Scott. Jill, who was one of the best performers that hit the One Music Festival.
Oh yes. My God.
Yes. T.I.'s coming back. Yeah. DJ Mars going to do a block party set.
Oh, wow.
So we got some pop outs there.
Oh, wow.
Who else we got? That's a lineup, bro. But I was excited when Earth, Wind & Fire confirmed. I said,
do you remember?
It's a groove now. It's a groove now.
It don't matter from there. It don't matter from there. Especially on the day where Frankie Beverly passed away today. Like, imagine, like, just think about that. Like, and it's crazy because his grandson is my boy, and he was like, Frankie was on tour for the last, he was like, this is it. And he wants to enjoy family. Mm-hmm. And he passed away today. But when you think about Earth, Wind & Fire, that's like, put like this. I can tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to One Music Fest. Who going to be there? I ain't going to that shit. Yo. Earth, Wind & Fire. Hold on, Raymond.
Let me get dressed. Let me get my purse.
And then you know what I'm saying? Like, and then my kids going to want to come because Bossman D-Lo going to, it's a black family reunion,
that's
bro.
That's what it is.
Right.
So what's the date?
October 26th and 27th.
October 26th. We're going to air this very close to that. I want to get it right. So listen, we done. I'm going to ask a credit check. All right. I got to do this. Credit check. So you did this already, but we're going to do this together. So we have this segment of the show called Credit Check because I despise giving people flowers. Mm. I despise it. Give them his flowers. I don't want no fucking flowers.
Right.
I want my credit.
Yeah.
If I can leverage my credit. I can make money with my credit. Mm. Them flowers is just like, oh, yeah, thank you. So we give people like yourselves a chance. And since it's the One Music Fest show, like, who are some unsung heroes in the One Music Festival that you feel like just needs some credit?
That's a great one. It's a long list, though, so get comfortable.
This is y'all moment. I'm with y'all.
Let me start from the top.
And immediately the publisher stands up like, just in case y'all need to know, I'm right here. I love it.
But, I mean, Orinike, she's been my business partner from the early 2000s. Ride or die, always been there. Mm-hmm.
That's our Kamala.
Yeah, I was going to let him finish, but I was going to say, we got to get into how important black women are for the success of black businesses.
Absolutely.
No,
because I want to fucking name Orinike. I remember we was dealing with her, like, she made me feel like so loved.
Yeah.
Like, don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. It's like, you know, when you see Jay and y'all like, what up, nigga?
Yeah.
Good, right? You know, I don't want to tell you, no, I'm not good. I need some help, you know? But Orinike is like, no, I got
What's
you.
Wrong?
What's wrong? What you need?
She nice to y'all. She'll go off on
But that's us. What that's but that's what that's, they do that, in the
that's,
house.
That's the boss.
That's how the house runs. She's nice to the outside, but she gonna check hers.
So
Orinike,
Cynthia Charles, absolutely. Mm-hmm. She was our festival director. But I'm gonna give credit to my wife as well. There would be no music One Music Fest without my wife. There would be none.
Let's clap for the wife. We're gonna clap it up. Can you tell us why? I wanna hear why.
I told you, 15 was the year we broke through.
Mm.
I was ready to quit in 14. No bullshit. Like, we lost so much, or I lost, we lost so much money in 14 that I was like, baby girl, I don't know if we could do this one. I was like, I had a second child on the way. I was like, nah, this one hurt, babe. This one hurt. I mean, thank God we had other businesses.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I was like, yo, if we lose bigger next year, like, what does that look like?
Mm.
And she said, you can look at money two ways, right? If there's a stock that you're interested in and you put money into it, did you lose it?
No.
Or did you invest it?
Invested.
I invested it. So she said the money and everything that you put into this brand that's growing every year is an investment, right? And you have to wait for your return. If you quit now, you don't know where you're going to end up.
What's your wife's name?
Amika Carter.
Amika?
Amika.
Amika, you are the shit.
Yeah.
No, I got to say, because real talk, those moments, people don't understand the impact of those moments, right? When you're ready, when you're down on your luck and you're ready to quit, and someone is like, give you, and they don't make you feel good, like, you can do it. Nah, I don't need that. I thought I could do it.
Right.
But give you real emotional intelligent perspective.
That's right.
Like, this is you just changed my life.
Yeah.
I be saying I'm losing money. I ain't losing. I'm investing. Shout out to your wife for that. I met her at the neighbor's house. If I see her again, I'm going to just tell her that because that's incredible. But I love that, bro. You can finish. I just love that you said that.
Nah, she's super dope. People at the beginning was, Nicole Gardner. You know, she was doing our PR in the beginning. You know, Saftosa Foster.
Saftosa.
You know what I'm saying? These
that's
are
my
all,
baby. Her and Shantay Bacon.
Yeah, hearing these are all women.
Yep.
And it's real talk. I gotta give love to Andre Dickens as well. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to Andre. Our mayor name is Dre. Love that.
Mm-hmm. You know, he was coming to the events before One Music Fest. Mm. He gave us our first proclamation in 2017, but always been supportive. And when we said we wanted to grow and said we wanted to try to figure out Piedmont Park, he said, you know, let's talk to the right people and see if it can happen.
I love Atlanta.
Who else? Steve Canal. He's not sitting here.
Steve. I thought he was going to be here. I thought when the third person showed, I thought it was going to be Steve. Yeah. Like, I was looking forward to having that conversation.
Mm-hmm. So Steve was with Miller Coors. Prior to us being business partners, and MillerCoors is one of our first sponsors, mm-hmm. so he believed in the brand. He believed in us. Dungeon Family would not have happened without Orlando Rico. Rest in peace, Rico. Yep. So all of us said that was our favorite moment. It don't happen without those two brothers right there, Orlando McGee and Rico.
Oh, yeah.
Who am I missing?
Josh.
Oh, fuck yeah. Josh Antonucci. Yeah. He's been there. Yeah. Our production manager. He's been there since 2012.
Man, I want to give somebody props who isn't here no more, but he saved our ass 1 year, and I'm pretty sure.
I think I heard the story. You about to say Clay.
Clay.
Yeah.
With Tip. Yeah. I heard you tell a story where you said somebody fell out and you need to get Tip.
Burner boy.
Yeah. So I heard that. I don't know why I heard you told that story somewhere where you was trying to get something done and it was like Tip was like,
we was
send the wire. I'll come right now. Like, right. Yeah.
How much you going to give? All right, I'm pulling up.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Shout out. Definitely shout out. Yeah, shout
Clay
out
saved
Clay.
The day on that one. We was huddled in the trailer looking at each other.
That's right. Trying to figure that thing out.
What would you say, Troy? You want anybody you want to give credit to?
No, Josh Oro.
Mm-hmm.
Teresa
and Dalen.
Yeah.
More sisters, more women that hold
man,
us
listen,
down.
Listen, man, you want to run a company, man. You better get you some black
SG,
women.
That's right.
They definitely helped take it over the top too.
Well, Sean and Live Nation Urban are our co-promotion partners.
Yeah.
And we first partnered with them in, might have been 19. The whole LNU crew, Brandon Pankey.
Shout out to Brandon. It took care of me last year.
Mari, Mike.
Yeah, Sean G. Malcolm.
Richard Gay.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. All those brothers and sisters over there.
Roster Root, he was the day one.
Roster Root's been day one.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a lot of people. Frey Wall. You know, it's a lot of people that's been
Ravi
Windham. Yep.
By the way, these people are feeling so good hearing their name. Like, that's why I like doing it. You know, like giving people their credit. Like, yo, you did something.
Man,
absolutely.
The beautiful thing is
Royce.
Royce.
Oh, Royce.
And our sponsorship. We are family, man. Like,
yeah.
We love. We argue. We fuss. We fight. But we got. Everybody's got each other's back.
Yeah.
Like, there's times, you know, where, I mean, there's a time for me where I was like, hey, I'm sick. You know what I mean? I had my trial with the cancer, but, like, these guys, like, you
that's
know,
the beautiful
team
part.
Really
brotherhood.
Was like, all right, what you need? You know, what we need to do?
Yeah.
You know, oh, you got to eat right? Or we're giving you these alkaline meals from this personal chef delivered, like even just conversations and things. And I think he ain't unsung, but I, you know, but people don't realize like what it takes to like not only to dream, but to put that dream and battery in other people's back. So
motivate them too.
They follow and they believe in the dream, and it now becomes our dream. Mm. So you got to give it up to this brother. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this wasn't an easy, task, and it continues to be hard at times.
Yeah.
So people don't realize, because they see one music fest and they like, man, y'all winning. They don't know. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the brother is juggling kids going to school on the other side of town, a wife, family. Like, there's a lot of things that come into play. And with the stresses of having a hell of a team, because, you know, a lot of people, you know, you got it. Now you got a hell of a team.
Yep.
But at the same time, it's still your vision. And so now you got to be like, okay, this person does production. This person does this. Now you got to start like relinquishing power. That's the tough thing for a leader
to say. Yep.
But that's the most incredible thing a leader can do.
Exactly. And what people don't understand is that it's all on you.
Yeah.
Like, if this shit works, your kids still could live their life. But if it doesn't, we got to rethink. So it's on me. So I can't afford to make a mistake.
Right.
And that's why I want to, that's why I like doing credit check, because I like talking to people. Need to know that, like, along the journey, there are going to be contributors, and it might not even make sense to you today. Mm-hmm. Like, you probably didn't want to hear your wife tell you what she told you. Like, you like, I'm ready to quit. What you talking about?
You hear me?
I'm done. And you like,
see,
no,
this receipt?
Let's you ready to lose more money? She was like, nah, it's an investment. And if that doesn't happen, who knows where we are?
Absolutely.
Because you made money the next year. You feel me? So I just had to say that. But the last question before I ask the last question, I'm sorry, y'all. I know I got to say this because I already know. When is the documentary coming?
That's a good question.
Y'all need to, if BET don't give y'all a deal to tell the story, because we want to watch it. Even when y'all talking about, like, even as a documentary on how y'all built it, I know y'all got it all documented. Mm-hmm. Like, that shit would be incredible to watch and see all black faces behind. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that people don't understand. When we see big shit as black people, we like, what a big white man behind it. Mm-hmm. I ain't lying.
That's real.
The big white man is he's not white. He's next to me. He's actually black, and he has on the orange sweat. Like, that's something to be proud of.
Right.
That story needs to be told, bro.
We're working on it, man.
Okay, cool. I throw that out, because I'm like, I want to be the person to say, I said it. Hey, 2024, I called that shit, because I know it got. I want to see it. I want to see that Dungeon Family show. After how y'all just talking, I'm like, man, where is it?
Yeah.
I want to see. I want to watch that.
From your lips to God's ears.
Yeah. Oh no, man.
Well, I mean,
y'all gets busy.
No doubt. But back to the notion of making sure that these brands and these conglomerates understand our value.
Yep.
And that's what they need to understand. And we've sat in a lot of rooms, at a lot of boardrooms, at a lot of tables, and, you know, explained the value of and why you should. And
so I want to ask
they need to get there.
Last question. This is called the God Show. God's is an acronym for goats and underdogs. So we ask our guests, all three, I'm going to ask y'all, and I didn't do this to you because I told you I'm going to save it for this show.
Yeah.
Do you consider yourself a goat or an underdog? If you consider yourself a goat, I mean, if you don't consider yourself a goat, what do you personally have to accomplish to feel like you can say you're the GOAT?
Oh, you're going to start with me?
Well, bring it all around. Bring it all around.
Troy, I'm looking right at you, Troy. Like,
so I'm an athlete, right?
Okay.
Former college athlete. I'm always had the mindset of taking something down. So I have an underdog mentality. Yeah, I'll just say that, right? There's always, and I think that that's good.
And goat.
Huh?
That motherfucker's a goat.
So, you know, and for, even
that
with my wife,
market is fish.
No,
he's the goat.
So I always have a target of the next level, or, you know, who we gonna take down, and that's not bad, but it's just that's the motivation. I think the problem is we don't necessarily take the time to celebrate the wins. Because once you get the win, then it's like, okay, what's next?
Yes.
Okay, let's get the next thing.
Yes.
But it is an underdog mentality.
But you said, I didn't ask you what mentality you have. I asked you, what do you consider yourself?
No, it's still an underdog because I don't think collectively we've accomplished enough yet.
Okay.
When we say 25, 30%, it's not.
So what percentage you want to get to for you to say you the GOAT?
I need to be at least 51%.
Okay, I can take that. Mo?
First of all, there may be a space where he feels like he's the underdog, but that being my partner, I'm knowing him, I've known him for years, and what he does,
he's the GOAT.
He's the GOAT.
Let's go.
No, I appreciate it.
You know what I mean?
What did you say yourself?
I think I'm in the middle. I have this tag, inner city success story.
Mm.
And to people where I come from, never really seen like success on that side.
Yeah.
So to a lot of people, and they look at me as motivation. So like to them, you know what I mean? They're like, oh yeah, like you that guy.
Yeah.
But I don't never feel like I'm that guy.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm only as good as the next move.
Mm.
So I think I'm right in the middle, undergoat. I guess.
That's what LL Cool J said. He said he's an undergoat. That's what he said.
I never heard it. Yep. Wow.
You know what I mean? I think, you know, Michael Jordan, I think Michael Jordan can look at himself like he's the GOAT of basketball because he's done playing basketball, right? LeBron or somebody, eventually 5 years after he retires, then he can be considered the GOAT because he's done.
Yeah.
He's still working towards
the
accomplishments.
He's still writing
the
story.
Yeah. So, like, that's where I'm at. Like, we still writing the story.
Okay.
Like, so.
Jay?
And just understanding the team is really, like, it's really the Avengers. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody has their own little superpower thing that they do extraordinarily well.
Yep.
And sometimes that superpower is the one that saves the day. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes you're like, Storm? What the fuck is she? Oh, okay, so she can make a hurricane.
Yeah.
And then it'd be like one edition or one episode, you'd be like, God damn!
Yeah, we needed that, yep.
Yeah. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So that's our team. Everybody kind of has a special thing that they do that makes them kind of a GOAT in their lane. But I love being an underdog.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I think my entire progression was built off being an underdog.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So if you look at my background, I'm not from the music industry.
Yeah.
You know, like I have a very unlikely story.
Yes.
You know, like promoters.
Yeah.
I never wanted to be a promoter.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I would see things that I think would need to be corrected or opportunities or how our culture is being displayed or disrespected or not being catered to. And I'd be like, I'm going to fill that gap.
Yep.
Right. So, but I always feel like I work better when I feel like there's something more to achieve.
Mm.
Right. So kind of what Troy said, you know, he said 51% to be called a GOAT. You know, I'm a GOAT when I say, you know what?
Hats off.
I bid you all good night.
Well,
right?
I'm going to tell y'all something. And this is the honest truth. When we at this show, obviously, you see we have sets there. We have a set in the other room. When we doing this show and, you know, we get inquiries, they always come to me and be like, these guys. So when they said your name, they was like, so what do you want to do with them? They all spotlight their business. All the spotlight. I said, nah, they the God show. Them niggas is GOATs. Nigga, I built other sets because I wanted to save this set right here for GOATs, for the greatest. Because for you to get on the camera and be able to talk to your people and tell, like, if someone is smart enough or tapped in enough and they're paying attention, this episode changes their life. That's GOAT level shit.
Love it.
So y'all are GOATs, whether y'all like it or not. So we crowning y'all GOATs right now. Let's clap for the GOAT.
Hey.
And I just want to tell y'all, thanks for coming on the show. I'm big fans of you guys personally and as men, right?
Same here.
Honestly, I love watching how y'all progress, and I love watching how y'all create black excellence. I love watching y'all do everything y'all supposed to do, and not say, look at me.
Mm.
That's what real shit is about.
And I respect the shit out of you too, bro.
Thank you,
and
bro. What you're doing. I appreciate that.
And I said I was going to save it for the conversation, but I don't even think you remember.
Tell me.
You had an idea. This was your idea.
Yes.
And you presented it to me.
Really?
We had a conversation about it. You were talking about the podcast or you was having a conversation, yeah, and I said you need a platform, bro.
Yes. I remember that conversation because, like I said, what people don't, I would go to Jay because you were in this city, you have the loud niggas, you have the ghost niggas, right? You are on the ghost side, right? And those ghost guys, like Richard Dunn, he's on the ghost side. Like they make all the powerful moves in the city. But you gotta be from the city
to know them,
right? It's not like if you out of town, you know who they are. You gotta be from the city and from the culture. You gotta actually, you can't be no bum nigga. You gotta actually be doing work.
That's right.
And you guys have always been doing that. So that's why I wanted to do this, because people see me as like an outlet for advice, but I will come to you for advice. Like, yo, this is what I'm trying to do, what you think? And hear you say, like you said, a platform. You need to build some shit. And to me, it's like, that's the last thing you wanna hear.
You just had too much information, bro.
Yeah.
You had too much information. And I think in our eyes and a lot of other folks' eyes, you're a GOAT.
Thank you.
As far as like what you do.
Thank you.
And your story. And then we were talking about brands. And you're like, well, how does it make money? How did I do this?
That's why you should never be afraid to ask questions. Like, I was asking you because I was questions. Looking at how you was, how'd you do that? Mm-hmm. How'd you do that? Damn. Because that's like, how the fuck? As a nigga that's trying to win,
right?
As a black man that's trying his hardest to rewrite history for his last name, how the hell do y'all? That's really how I be,
right?
All I know how to do is talk. So I told him put a camera on me. I know how to do that very well.
You got a hell of a platform, brother.
Thank you, bro. Yeah,
no
so,
doubt.
By the way, shout out to One Music Fest. Shout out to you guys for watching. Y'all better go there and get tickets. I'm telling y'all now, it is. You know, sometimes they say support these brothers. This ain't supporting these brothers. This is doing something for your soul. This is doing something. You are not going to leave there not feeling good about yourself.
Word.
It's going to feel like a Frankie Beverly and Maze concert. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to leave out the happy people, happy feelings.
Happy feelings.
We are one. We're going to leave. Yeah. That's what it's. Yeah. That's what it feels like. So if you're watching this, trust me, you're going to see me there anyway. So run up on me and tell me I'm lying. I promise you ain't gonna do that. I promise you ain't. This the God Show. Shout out to our sponsors. Shout out to everybody here. And shout out to you for watching. We are out.
Peace.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.